I confess to Connie, I don't really have any craft objects at home, other than a few pipe cleaners. So I decided that what I would do is what I enjoy doing most, which is a guided meditation. And then we'll do a little small group activity that I think you'll find fun. So I'm here today to talk about the symbol that you frequently see at the front of a Science of Mind church. I often wondered what it was that's right in front of me right now that Allison DeNardi made for us. And I never thought a whole lot about it, to be honest with you, until I started taking classes and I got the explanations. You get that in the beginning of your foundations class. And I know that a symbol is something that is visible to us by some kind of association, and it represents something that may be invisible. For example, an eagle is a symbol of the United States. The red octagon sign means stop. We all understand these things, at least Americans do. I don't know if others see the eagle as a symbol of the United States. But most of us understand what symbols mean. And then there are some specialized symbols, like the healing symbols that are used in Reiki. They were created maybe a couple centuries ago, but there have been hours, thousands of hours of thought energy put into those symbols. And so it's almost as though when you see those symbols, they have a power of their own. And likewise, in Science of Mind, we have something called the teaching symbol or the metaphysical symbol that's seen at the back of the textbook. And this can also become an icon for us to remind us of the creative process. And it kind of models a process that I'll be describing today. Let's see. I don't know how well. Is there a circle? Yeah. There's a circle in this banner that represents all that is. Everything that is contained with that symbol. It represents wholeness. It represents God in three parts, which is the spirit, the soul or law, and the body or form. And it also represents the human. Each one of us is an individual expression of God, meaning that we have those three parts. We have the four parts. We have the wholeness. We have within us our mind. And we are able to think creation into process. And this process is shown, you could see here, the heart. There's a downward motion of the V, which is it's to think of it as the descent of spirit into matter, and I'll talk about that a bit later on. You could think of this perhaps as comparing it to water. It's all it takes different forms, whether it's hot, cold, or kind of at a neutral temperature. It could be steam, it could be ice, it could be water. And it all depends upon the temperature. So I'm going to pass something out now that came from the children's curriculum. Take one and pass it on. So at the top, you see the farmer, he's planting seeds, and that represents where the mind of God is. And this is where your thoughts and words are as well. They're like seeds just waiting to be planted. In the middle area, you see the dirt or the soil of the garden, or perhaps the pots that you plant the seeds into, and this is where you plant your thoughts. When God thinks or speaks, thoughts and words go into this middle area, also known as the law. This is the part of God that makes things happen. It's called the creative medium or the soul. It's kind of like dirt or vermiculite. It's also called the law because it works like a scientific law. It's repeatable. It happens over and over again. It's also called the law of God. A law always works. And then at the bottom, are the things that come into physical reality as a result of planting that seed. It could be a gorgeous poinsettia plant or some wheat. That's how God works. If God's word or thought says, make a son, the law of God, the creative medium, makes it happen, and then the son appears. If God says, I want a tree, the law of God or the creative medium makes it happen, and the tree appears. We can really see it and touch it and smell it. So I passed on the, this is the adult version of the same symbol. Take one, pass it on. I like that one. If you take foundations class, there's a quiz at the end of the class, and one of the things that you'll be asked to do is associate words with the science of mind symbols, depending on where the layers are. And I took some of these words from the back of the textbook. Again, it shows us that God is in three parts, and there are several words associated with spirit. If you look in the back of the textbook, it's on an unnumbered page, there are several charts in various forms called the metaphysical symbol. One has it divided into three parts. Another one is very simple, and this shows the V in the middle. Again, one in three parts. And here's one that's divided slightly differently. And this one I love because it's all one. You can take a look at my book at the break if you'd like. But these are really worth studying. The charts in the book represent, some of them are associated with God and some are with man as the creator. So I invite you to take a look at those pictures. So when we do science of mind treatment, we are purposefully planting seeds, just like the farmer. It's what we're doing. We state our intention into the mind or the law of God, and we know it'll become our crop eventually. And that's why we, in a treatment, we always state things in a positive form using words such as I know, I am, I claim, or he is, she is. And we try to avoid saying what we don't want, but we talk about what we want as though it already existed in our life. Because in some ways, when you have that thought, the reality already exists at some level. And so you can theoretically claim what is only a thought right now as a physical reality. And that will make your treatment more powerful. So, for instance, if you plant a sunflower seed, you don't question what's going to be coming up. You expect a sunflower. You expect at some point there's going to be a lovely, radiant yellow or orange flower. And then later on there will be birds gathered about that flower, what was once the flower, eating the seeds. And you don't dig it up. You don't think, well, maybe it's not going to grow. You just leave it in the soil because you expect it. And this is where we want to get with our lives, is when we state our word or we have our expectations that we expect that they will be fulfilled. So you need to remember that you have that same power and God has given it to you. You have an idea. It's like a seed. Your thoughts, each one of them is a seed. And then you plant it in the dirt. The dirt is the law. It makes the seeds grow into a plant. And every time we have a thought, we are planting a seed. And we see the plant, and we see our thoughts taking form. Now, in the children's curriculum, they say, well, if you start thinking, I don't have any friends, which is a common thing for little kids to think, they begin to create their reality. They don't have friends. So if you think to yourself, well, I'm going to have a great day today, when you get out of bed, you think about all the exciting things you're going to be doing, And you begin to form that. And so you can see an association between your thoughts and expectations and what you really create. And I really thought a lot about what Connie and Gail had talked about last month with it all being the one. And Connie asked a great question. She said, how do you tell your story? And this, every time you tell your story, you're laying a seed into the ground. So Holmes says, the one who desires to heal must stop seeing, reading about, discussing, or listening to conversation about sickness. There is no other way under the sun except as we let go of that which we desire and take that which we wish to have. And that's kind of a radical thing to say, but it certainly explains why you may not want to watch the news if it is something that may be upsetting. You may not want to read books that are disturbing to you. You think about everything that you put into your mind as something that eventually may result in some kind of physical manifestation. So being careful about the seeds that you're planting is a good thing. And also, not every seed you plant will come out. I mean, not every horror movie you watch will come into fruition. But in general, it's a goal that we all have, was to focus on the things that are working for us. So I spent time thinking about the symbol. And to me, the real power of the symbol not only is in the three levels there, but it's in that V that's in the middle. And last week, I was having one of those weeks where I had a lot going on. I organized a lot of system development work at work, and we have a system that's had a lot of problems that's coming into, it's just had a major redesign. And we've had one problem after another, and it'll go into production about a week from now. So it's been a challenge, and I've had to stay focused on that at work. And in addition, as many of you know, my house is now on the market, and that's taken weeks of preparation. And I'm thinking about what to do, and it's taken a lot of my mental energy. In the middle of that, I got a call from Stephen's school, or several calls, actually, expressing concern about a medication that he's been taking and the effect it was having on him. And to be honest with you, having him at boarding school has been great because I haven't had to worry about him or think about him, and I think it's been a lot better for him and without me worrying about him. And so I felt really stressed when I got the calls from the nurse's office, from the school administration, and it's almost as though those feelings I was having at the moment I was getting those calls acted like that downward line, that descent into matter, because I had what's called the rockets of desire, or I had some very fast manifestations as a result. And I began to realize that maybe that's what that line is about. The downward line is about the rockets of desire that we have, that when we are having some very strong feelings, either positive or negative. In this case, I was so focused on thinking about the teaching symbol that I was able to say to myself, well, what kind of seeds are you planting right now, Judy? And I realized that there were possibilities that this could turn out very well in the situation with my son, and indeed it has. It took me hours on the phone with various people, but we came up with a good resolution, and he'll be coming down here for a couple days to carry that out. But I realized that in the midst of all that feeling that I was having, that I was creating seeds and that I could control them, what was going into that soil, by reminding myself that things always turn out okay, I would take steps to soothe myself. And Steve can tell you that I was pretty agitated for a few days. But it's turning out pretty well. But then I started thinking about other things in the creative process where things don't happen so slowly. They may take a whole life to evolve. And in that way, I think of each thought being planted into the soil, evolving slowly. It's as though each thought is an arrow that goes out, and it may be our creative thoughts about our work, about our home, about our relationships. Hey, Carla. It could be thoughts or our beliefs about ourselves. These are all arrows that get laid into the soil and eventually become what our life is day after day. And I realized that this is really the process of coming into vibrational alignment, is laying those seeds, and consistent seeds eventually produce results. So I wanted to close. I'm famous, by the way, for getting through meetings quickly. I want to close with a thought from Holmes. He says, "From the creative power of thought which we all possess, there is no escape. It merely becomes a question of how we shall use it. To state the proposition in the simplest manner, there is an infinite thinker forever thinking itself into form. There is an infinite law forever acting upon thought, and then creation is the result. Man is some part of this process. Our thought is creative, not because we will it to be so, but because this is its nature." And so it is.
And so it is. Indeed. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you.